I'm coming. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the day that you have given us. Thank you for the celebration of Christmas through children and through singing these beautiful songs, reminding us of this season and what we celebrate. And Lord, today we pray that no one leaves this place without being touched by your Spirit and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we pray that you would continue. Thank you for your faithfulness to this church. And thank you for so many faithful people who are part of this church. And we pray a rich blessing on everyone today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Are we dismissing the kids? Are the kids all gone already? Are they down? Okay, of all the details, that was the one detail I forgot to ask about. All right. I just want to give a shout out to all the volunteers. As many of you know, next Sunday we don't have a service. There are just so many people that, you know, help put together a service, as Sue was saying, and we just want to bless them by allowing them to stay home with their families on a Sunday. Okay? I want to encourage you too. Friday we're having a celebration of life service for Jack Parker. If you're able to come and support the family, that would be wonderful too as well. And Christmas Eve, 2 days away. Can you believe that? Yeah. Are you coming? We're going to light candles and we're going to have a beautiful service together. Awesome. Awesome. All right, I would like you to finish this sentence, okay? What the world needs now is... How many of you tried to do that without singing it? What the world, right? Okay, doesn't that sound very biblical? I think all of us would agree, if there's anything the world needs right now, is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's much too little of. What a great song. And how much truth is to that song. I think each and every one of us kind of can look around and quickly see that love is in such desperate need today. Such desperate need. We're continuing our series on Advent, and I just want to take a few moments to talk about what this week on the Advent calendar focuses on. You know, we've talked about hope, we've talked about peace, we've talked about joy, and the fourth week of Advent is this thing called love. Now, we talk a lot about God's love, but what is God's love? What does God's love look like? What does God's love mean for you? What difference does the love of God do for your life than the love you receive from anyone else? How is it different? Why is it different? And how much does it change my life to know that when we talk about God's love, how it actually transpires and transforms our existence? Because I could stand here all day and tell you how much God loves you, but if you don't understand exactly what that means, then it's not going to make much of a difference. Okay, I want to just put up on the screen a little bit of Mary's prayer that was already communicated during the Advent lighting. And this is really an entire chapter, but I'm going to just focus on the first kind of little bit of it. And this is shortly after the angel has told Mary that she's going to give birth to Jesus. And he's going to be the Savior of the world. That he's the long-awaited Messiah. And it's something that God has been promising for some time. And Mary responded and said, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me." Now, I don't know about you, but that has love written all over it. It's an expression from someone who recognizes the deep love that has been given to them, especially if you had pointed this person out of the crowd and said, "That person's going to be specially treated by God," they would have said, "Not me. Not a chance. I'm not valuable enough. I'm not important enough. I'm not capable enough." All of those things would have gone through her mind. But I want to talk about what does divine love look like. And I just want to give you three really quick points. Number one, divine love is unfailing. It is absolutely unfailing. Now, that's going to show up on the screen in just a second. God's love is unfailing. Now, I've got to tell you, I've done lots of weddings where I'm standing up at the altar and I'm officiating as this couple comes together and says their vows and all that stuff. In fact, I've probably done hundreds of weddings. You might not believe that. But in 30 years, I've done hundreds of weddings. I've done weddings in every imaginable place and time, on the edge of a cliff, on a private beach with a symphony orchestra playing. I've had people who have brought their pets and put them in tuxedos as part of the wedding party. I had one wedding where I had a little guy clutched to my leg screaming through the whole service because mom and dad were doing something he couldn't understand. I've had every conceivable, format of a wedding. I've seen it all. But what I've seen consistently is two people standing up front, whether it's a small crowd or a large crowd, looking at each other and saying to each other, "I love you." But you know what's also interesting about that is that inside each and every one of them, because I've talked to almost every one of them, there's this doubt. There's this understanding that love is an incredible risk. That when you stand up in front of a guy like me and I'm going through the vows, they're all saying their vows as emotionally, as with all integrity, but deep down inside, they're saying, "Is it going to work out? Is it going to be all the things that I dreamed that love would look like?" That's a hard thing, isn't it? Because love on a human level always comes with a risk. But many of us know that when it comes to love, when you know it and when you feel it, it is always worth the risk, isn't it? No? It's better to what? Love in lost than to never have loved at all. Such a true statement. But do you know, with God, love is never risky. Love is never risky with God. Because God's love is an expression of his unfailing nature towards us. It's not a risk. There's a wonderful passage in Romans 8, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome. And it's probably, if you're a believer here this morning, a believer here online, and you've never read Romans 8, Romans 8, the entire chapter, is a great expression of what it means to be a believer. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? And what's fascinating is at the very end of that chapter, he goes, nothing And he repeats it a couple of times, if I remember right. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And then he starts into a Motown song, okay? Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough, okay? That's where they got the song from, was Romans 8, okay? That there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. That's the expression of Christmas, is this unfailing love of God. Here's the second thing it is. It's accepting. It's an accepting love. We read in 1 John 4:19 that we love because God first loved us. When we didn't think we were acceptable, when we didn't think we were good enough, when we didn't think we deserved it, when we didn't think that anyone would care for us because of all the things we've done and all of that kind of stuff, God in Christ accepts us. God doesn't go, let me think about it. I know what you've done. Let me consider it. I might take it to a committee. But the fact of the matter is, the minute you open your heart to God, he accepts you. Because that is what God is like. That God doesn't say, hey, you made your bed, you lie in it. There might be, consequences to actions, but they're never because God does not love you and does not accept you. God is accepting. The medieval theologian William of St. Thierry wrote this: you first loved us so that we might love you. Not because you needed our love, but because we could not be what you created us to be except by loving you. Now, I think that's a medieval thought that is so true today. I think many of us do not live to the capacity that God intended for us because we are meant to love God and to live in that love. And when we ignore that, we live a diminished life. We live less than the capacity that God has put in us to live. And I think that's a really powerful truth. He was right. Because here's the other thing. We have been created in God's image. So many people have lost dignity in looking at other people or lost the integrity or the rights of other people because we have forgotten that every single person is made in God's image. And they hold intrinsic value because of that. And because of that, that's why God will look at you when you open your heart to him and he will accept you. He doesn't say, oh, no, you're in the wrong category. You're in the wrong social structure. No. God accepts you wholeheartedly. In fact, I'm really struck. Jordan Peterson happens to say that this is the most profound statement in the Western world, that we all have been made in God's image. That's a beautiful truth about who you truly are. Here's the last thing. Let me just say one other passage that I think is really important. It's Ephesians 2:10 that says that we are God's masterpiece. Isn't that a beautiful, made for good works that he planned long ago? And I've said this, you may hear this for the first time, but I've said this many times. The Greek word for masterpiece there is where we get the word poetry from in English. You are God's poetry. Made for something greater. Made for something that blesses others and is accepting in God, that we are God's poetry. The third thing is that God is forgiving. One of the statistics that I keep reading time and time and time and time and time and time again is that so many relationships break up or, you know, depart from one another because of a lack of forgiveness. That is one of the things, you know, in all the years that I've sat with married couples, that's a biggie, okay? I can't forgive him. I can't forgive her, you know, all of that stuff. That whole, you know, theme of forgiveness often is missing in close relationships. But forgiveness is one of the hallmarks of God's love. 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And 1 John 2:12, "I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ." As Jesus was being crucified, do you remember what he said? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Listen, it's Christmas time. And what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now, you may look for that love in so many different places. And, you know, and that's fine. God made us to love one another. But the ultimate expression of love is that birth that happens over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem in the most unbelievable of circumstances to a young couple so far out of their league in a culture and an environment that, you know, whatever the law said at that time should never have happened. And yet the greatest expression of God's love is the person of Jesus Christ. From his birth to his death and then his subsequent resurrection. Because through him we have hope, we have peace, we have joy, and we have the ultimate expression of love. And let me tell you, any kingdom that is built on power, authority, economics, all of those things will eventually implode and eventually be dust. But any kingdom built on love will last forever. And that's what we have as the church. That's what we have in the Christmas story. We have a kingdom being inaugurated by the greatest expression of love through the person of Jesus Christ, a love that is unfailing, accepting, and forgiving. There are many of you that need to be reminded of that today, because Christmas time has been very difficult for you. And you may believe that you're at the end of your proverbial rope. You may have be remembering that you've lost someone during a time that everyone's supposed to be happy. You may have gotten a diagnosis that puts the new year in question. You may be in a relationship that's failing. You may be in all kinds of different things. And if you're not personally, you're bound to know somebody who is having those difficulties. But what they need, what we all need, is to be reminded of the love that came down in Bethlehem and take that as the ultimate expression of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening to me. Appreciate it. You have no idea how hard it is to get up here after the kids just blew it out of the water, okay, right? Okay. What a marvelous day to celebrate, right? The kids did a wonderful job. Danu and Ann, thank you for lighting the Advent candles. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up for a last song. And as they do so, I just want to say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. See you Tuesday night. God bless. Amen.